You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With the government now funded, there's more time to fight over government funding. From Marketplace, I'm Sari Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Last night, President Biden signed a bill to temporarily avoid a government shutdown, which would have happened at midnight tonight. But this stopgap measure basically just pushed the most controversial stuff a couple months down the road. Among those items, the president's request for more aid to Israel and Ukraine. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more on that.
President Biden asked Congress last month for about $105 billion in aid for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and border security.
Democrats want aid to Israel. Democrats want aid to Ukraine.
Sarah Binder is a professor of political science at George Washington University. She says for Republicans opposed to more aid for Ukraine,
the price for their votes is immigration reform.
In fact, earlier this year, the House passed immigration legislation. It would have restarted construction on the border wall and made it more difficult for migrants to get asylum in the U.S., non-starters for Democrats. The House also passed a $14 billion aid package for Israel with no money for Ukraine. And now, Binder says,
the ball's definitely in the Senate's court.
A bipartisan group of senators is working on a compromise on immigration that would be included in a broader package of aid for Ukraine and Israel, which could be tacked onto a bigger bundle of spending bills.
That could be in January. That could be in February.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he hopes, quote, we can come to a solution in the coming weeks. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
So each month we watch a documentary together for what we call Econ Extra Credit. And this month it is a feature film based on real history. Killers of the Flower Moon is actually out in theaters now. Members of the Native American Osage Nation were forced onto land that was agriculturally poor. Couldn't do a lot with it. Then, it turned out, there was a lot of oil there. The film tells the story from the 1920s of a reign of terror faced by the Osage people as white Americans tried to extract that oil wealth through exploitation, graft, and murder. At the center of this was a legal concept called guardianship. And for more on this, we've got Allison Herrera. She's a senior reporter for the investigative journalism outfit APM Reports, which is owned by the same parent company as Marketplace. She covers indigenous affairs. Allison, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Sabri.
So there is this legal concept of guardianship. People might be familiar with this from the story of Britney Spears after she fought to have her guardian removed a couple years ago. But this is basically somebody else being granted the authority to tell you how you can and cannot spend your money. It has a long legal history, which we see in Killers of the Flower Moon. Can you explain what we see there?
Yes. Guardianships stem from this racist, paternalistic policy that was put in place by the federal government in the early 20th century that basically deemed Native people incompetent to run their own affairs and manage their own money. You know, the policy was first implemented ultimately to protect Osages from being exploited by non-Indians, but it ended up not being that way. So in 1912, the United States government passed this law that said Osage citizens who were more than half-blood were deemed incompetent. You may remember a scene from the film Killers of the Flower Moon where Molly Burkhart has to go into the office and she has to read off her allotment number and say incompetent. And so that's basically the system that people operated under.
What kind of legal landscape developed around this?
So that's a really good question. And this goes back to Oklahoma statehood. There was an act that was put in place called the Oklahoma Enabling Act. And what this did was it made a lot of provisions and laws for Oklahoma to enter into the union. And the act laid out that in matters of Indian affairs, that was to be left between the federal government because of the trust responsibility it has for tribal nations. But shortly after statehood in 1907, you had all of these businessmen, these landowners, cattlemen, that lobbied really hard to give local courts and judges in eastern Oklahoma control over probates and wills and estates. And that allowed for, you know, judges to appoint their friends and, you know, family as guardians over these Osages.
So even in death, the access to wealth was kind of diverted legally.
Yes. I mean, I did some reporting about a woman named Lily Morell Burkhart. She was not related to Molly Burkhart or the Kyle sisters, but this was in 1967. After she passed away, her will went into this lengthy probate in Osage County, and her then divorced husband, Byron Burkhart, was able to claim that he was her common law husband through the courts, and then it was able to get a salary off of her estate. So, I mean, this isn't something that was just in the 1920s. This was even, you know, later in the 60s and 70s.
Allison Herrera is a senior reporter covering Indigenous affairs for the investigative journalism outfit APM Reports. Allison, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sari, for having me on.
Allison Herrera's work can also be heard on the podcast from Bloomberg called In Trust. And you can follow along with Econ Extra Credit by subscribing to our free newsletter at marketplace.org/newsletters. Our executive producer is Kelly Silvera. Our digital producer is Dylan Mietinen. Our engineers are Jessen Dueler and Nick Esposito. And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.